Warning, the views and opinions expressed on the show are those and solely those of the hosts and in no way represent the station from which they broadcast from, nor the DJs with whom they work with.
Alrighty then.
But by listening, you will be enlightened by a different brand of useless information.
Bazinga.
And very modest hilarity.
And that's the bottom line.
It's time to hear from the other guys.
I am a peacock. You gotta let me fly.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, buddy.
Woo! Thank you again for tuning in to this week's episode of The Other Guys Podcast. I'm Baby Huey, joined by my beautiful fellow co-host right over there. That is Chasta.
Hello there.
And sitting next to her is Joha.
Yeah, buddy.
And over here to my left, no, it's not Jack Tripper. It's not Tony Schiavone. It's Bimbo Jimbo. Oh,
let's get it going. But while we're on the subject of hair, I just have to point out that Chasta is looking phenomenal. She darkened her hair. You look great, Chasta.
I did, and I have now declared. You both can be jealous, Joe and Baby Huey.
What's that?
Jimbo is now my radio boyfriend.
Oh.
He noticed the hairdo. That is, like, impressive.
Eat your heart out,
but
ladies.
Are we, like, just, like, true, like, boyfriends not noticing?
That's exactly. You're the typical boyfriend. I go for the higher rank there. So
that's fine.
Nice. He's my radio boyfriend.
I'm high. Thank you, Chasta.
Radio sister. Come on.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening, tuning in right now. This is going to be a very fun episode. Also kind of quick because apparently... we're on a time clock right
Someone
now.
Someone is timing us to get out of here.
To use our studio that we've taken over, our Kevin Nash studio.
Yes, the Diesel
Didn't
Nash
they
Studios.
Our flag? We put up the flag. Does
I
that
know.
Not matter?
No.
Apparently not.
Apparently not.
So apparently...
The March of Manifest Destiny.
Well, Chas and I were talking, you know, the last few weeks we've been using this studio and everyone's been walking by and noticing what we've been doing and I think... Word of mouth's been getting out there. Ooh, look at this studio.
Ooh, free studio, yeah.
Production
studio.
Yeah, so damn. But hey, we're innovators. And also, we're setting trends. You only guys saw my email. Our sister station, KGO, they want to start doing their own line of podcasts.
Oh,
because
really?
They saw what we were doing. So they're
inspiration.
Exactly. Yeah. We are trendsetters here in the Bay Area, The Other Guys Podcast. So a lot of stuff to talk about this past week. Or since our last episode, we have a lot of stuff to get into. First things first. Our last episode, we were talking about the Golden State Warriors on the verge of breaking the record for most wins in the regular season.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
They did it. So congratulations to the Warriors. Last week, they finished the season 73-9. Jimbo was, of course, out there. Did you strut on the court after the game?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Do we
did
have footage of it?
There
anywhere?
Has to be a video.
I don't know if ESPN got me or whatever, but yeah, I did full Ric Flair strut. I wooed. And, I strutted over to the courtside headset, and I'm pretty sure I was, like, behind Klay Thompson for all of Mark Stein's, like, post-game interview and stuff. So I'm saying that, like, trying not to laugh, because I was just expecting, you know, Huey to, like, start bombarding me with texts.
Right.
Well, Andrew Stern, our engineer, took a great picture of you. Was that from that night?
That was from that night. So that was...
you creeping over...
That was the photobomb one, right?
Yeah.
I saw
so,
that.
So what was going on was I was leaving the court, and by the way, being on the court for the celebration of 73 wins is just insane.
You're like, part of history.
It just charmed experience. Experience to be a part of. But yeah, I was leaving the court and Roz was interviewing Steph, and I see in real time this whole thing happening. I see Steph Curry's wife Aisha, who is delightful and just a wonderfully nice lady.
Couple.
Yeah, they are. They're like the Kennedys.
Seriously.
I mean, he loves her so much.
Yeah.
But so she's going up there to kind of like bomb his post game interview.
Oh, I saw a little bit of that.
So she's going up there to interrupt it, and I see I just see it all happening in real time. So I just kind of start laughing as I'm looking over, and that's when Stern got the screen.
Oh, that's the shot. Okay.
I got to see that photo.
It's pretty epic.
It's
awesome. So I mean, I'm still amazed that they broke the record just because I thought the previous record the Bulls had was going to be forever. But, Warriors beat it. Just another record for this amazing season so far. So, good times. And then also, the last they started the first round of the NBA playoffs. So, Jimbo, real quick, how's been the atmosphere just for these playoff games now?
Oh, it's been tremendous. I mean, like, right in the first game, like, I got really amped up when, Patrick Beverley of the Rockets got kind of physical with Steph, and Steph shoved him. And I was very aroused. I mean, I was like, get you some, Steph. Like, he's the nicest guy. And so for him to, like, react like that, like, we all were, like, it fired everybody up. So it's been a great vibe. And now the crowd is just booing Beverly mercilessly.
Yeah,
it's been really fun. Good vibe. Rockets stink.
Oracle has the best fans. The Golden State Warriors are the best fans out there. So good time. So fingers crossed, Warriors just keep on trucking and winning each round, and hopefully, knock on wood, get us another ring for Jimbo.
That's right. I need more bling in my life.
Yes. So, so the Warriors, it's been Warriors fever around here, but also this past week, I was lucky enough to attend a very special intimate concert of Metallica for Record Store Day at Rasputin's in Berkeley.
Looked awesome.
It was insane.
That's
so,
a once-in-a-lifetime thing, yeah. Much like the Golden State Warriors win.
Oh, yeah. It was incredible. I got the last-minute invite to get in, and so I went down there, and it was crazy. The will call was at Hotel Duran in Berkeley where my brother works, so I dropped off Tommy. I was like, bye, Tommy.
And
I went around the corner and got my wristband, got in line. Outside Rasputin's, and Mike Borden, the drummer Faith No More, and also Ozzy Osbourne was standing right in front of me. Tom Hunting from Exodus came walking by. Chuck Billy of Testament. It was like Bay Area thrash metal royalty just surrounding me.
Rob Thomas there?
I'm sorry, Stephen Jenkins wasn't there. He's here today.
Might have been, yeah, guy's a legend.
That's right. So it was crazy. So we go inside. Or actually, I talked to Mike Borden outside. Super cool dude. Really awesome. It was really fun to talk to. I was thinking of pulling off something, but I didn't do it because I didn't want to piss him off.
What do you want to do?
Well, I said, hey, Mike, it was really awesome seeing you guys at Aftershock last year in Sacramento. You guys put on just an amazing concert. That's how I phrased it. I was going to say, man, Faith No More's performance was truly epic.
Oh, my God.
But I didn't do it. I didn't do it.
You refrained. That's good.
I didn't want him to be like, I'm sure he's heard that many times.
Yeah. Probably.
So I didn't do it.
You weren't that guy.
So we got inside. We went inside at 3:30. I thought they were going to start right at 4, but it was more like 4:20, 4:25.
4:20.
Yeah, today is 4:20. We'll get into that in a bit. But Metallica comes on about 4:30, play for about 50, 55 minutes, and it's just stuff from the first two albums. They did about 9 songs. First was the Diamond Head cover of Helpless, and then, they went into songs from the very first two albums just in promoting the re-release, the remastered versions of Kill 'Em All and Ride the Lightning. So it's an amazing time. Ray Burton, Cliff Burton's dad's there.
Awesome.
Lars' dad was there. But it was just packed with people, 300 people, and everyone was just having so much fun. And I put the full recap on 1077thebone.com if you want to watch it. So
epic,
thank you to Metallica, Q Prime, everyone who let me
Salesforce.
In.
Salesforce.
Who's Salesforce?
Isn't like the company that usually like takes care of like all like the Metallica concert stuff?
No, they just hired them to play their convention. Their convention.
Yeah.
That and like Foo Fighters and stuff.
Yeah, that's a separate thing.
My bad.
So, but it's truly a lot of fun. And then right afterwards, I had to get out of there as fast as I can and sped on over. Jimbo, you like this? So my dad come gets me with my car at Rasputin's. But I realized time-wise, I got to hurry up and get to the Fillmore for Chas and I, our interview with Charlie Starr, Blackberry Smoke. My dad wanted me to drop him off in San Francisco, but I realized there wasn't going to be enough time. So he says, drop me off right here. And he jumped on a bus and took the bus home, and then we sped over to the Fillmore.
Abandoned your own father.
Yeah, so if you ever get abandoned by Baby Huey, don't feel bad. He does it to his own dad.
Left his own father to his own devices to fend for himself. Terrible.
So, Chasen, though, it was just amazing time. I got there in time, and we interviewed Charlie Starr of Blackberry
on
Smoke.
On the tour bus.
Yes.
I mean, I get not everybody knows Blackberry Smoke, but for me, this was my once-in-a-lifetime moment this weekend, much like you guys had your moments in the sun. It was the coolest.
On the tour bus, too. That sounds awesome.
On the tour bus, yeah.
It seemed like a very nice tour bus, actually, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chas and I, we were out on the sidewalk, and we were just standing there because we were supposed to meet their tour manager, but we didn't know really. Well, we kind of knew what he looked like.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a number, so we're just standing there, and Jay's with us. He's like, just bang on the door.
My husband is fearless in these moments. Like, he doesn't give an F, like, at all. Like, he will just do whatever. He'll barge on stage. He barged on stage at ZZ Top one year. Like, he will just do whatever. So he just starts banging on the tour bus door.
Act like you own the place.
He totally.
Yeah, true.
And it works for him.
Yeah.
And they open the door, and we walk in, and then there's Charlie Starr.
It's just sitting there, and he's like, hey, come on in.
I mean, it was insane. We had so much fun.
And it was just like, he was super chill, just like getting acquainted visually, because we interviewed him before on the phone, but since luckily we already had that kind of brief relationship with him, I think it was easier to start just talking to him. So we sat down. Thank you to Jay for being an awesome cameraman. He's our new tech guy.
Yes, he is.
And then,
that's funny.
But Chassa, you said it was just like talking to an old friend. It was just really smooth. And
it was. And again, like I know everybody doesn't know Blackberry Smoke, but they're my favorite band. They're great, a great band. If you like, I mean, we say this all the time, but you have to have a point of reference. If you like Skynyrd or Allman Brothers, then that's
Black Crowes
is a big inspiration for them. So they're very
That's right, Atlanta. Yeah. But, so I got my Blackberry Smoke shirt rocking right now.
He's sporting the new shirt.
So it was a long day of just a lot of rock this past Saturday, record store day. So hopefully all our listeners went out and support your local music store. And then, we had a great interview. That's up at 1077thebone.com. So listen back to our interview with Charlie Starr. Great guy. We did
video and audio.
And I think it's just, we have like a great relationship with them now. I think we could interview them a lot more.
Absolutely. They're coming back in August to the Mountain Winery.
With Government Mule. So it's going to be a killer show. Yeah. So
that's very cool. I'm so glad you guys got to do that. I totally geeked out. That's tremendous. Those are the best moments.
Yeah. Oh, he signed the onesie.
Oh, yeah. Cody, I have a onesie. One of the first things I bought when I found out I was pregnant was a Blackberry Smoke onesie, as you would.
Of course.
So I took it and Charlie signed it. And then this was kind of embarrassing. I had already bought meet and greet passes like months ago, not knowing we would interview them. Yeah. But they're for charity. So I was like, why not, right?
Yeah.
So I already bought that. So it was kind of stalker-esque because we interviewed him before. And then I already had the meet and greet passes. So I was like, I gotta go. So we went afterwards, too. So we were like those people.
But I've been there.
Yeah.
But the meet and greet's a good cause. The money goes to charity.
It goes to Children's Hospital. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
It was really cool. So, just a very fun weekend. So, check all our social media for just all the recaps, all that good stuff. So, since we're running short on time, let's go ahead and jump right into it. The return once again of Other News with the other guys. And Joe Hawk, please take it away.
You guys know I am a big guy to go in the mosh pit. And it's a great way to let off steam. But now science is proving that live music actually reduces stress levels.
I don't doubt this at all.
No. As Team Rock reports, the Center for Performance Science in London has found the first evidence that suggests listening to live music can reduce stress levels. They took samples from 117 volunteers at two different concerts. They discovered that lower levels of glucocorticoids, progesterone, and cortisol. I've heard of cortisol.
Cortisol.
And all related to human stress. And the samples taken out of the show says the lead researcher, this is the first preliminary evidence that attending a cultural event can have an impact on endocrine activity.
Mm. So Meaning that you have less stress. That's a lot of scientific words. Translate for me, please.
Basically, if you go out to these live activities that you find so much pleasure in, you're going to your stress is going to be relieved.
Okay.
Like for me, it might just be jumping into a mosh pit, knocking some guys around, doing a little skanking here and there, or going to Blackberry Smoke.
Right.
Enjoying your longtime hero,
exactly. Singing every word,
doing something physical. It's just being in that atmosphere.
Being in that atmosphere,
something that makes you super happy. You know, I have to say with Blackberry Smoke, one thing that stood out to me was first time I'd ever seen them sober because I'm pregnant. So that was like, it was definitely a different experience. Like I even turned around to Jay. I was like, wow, this is kind of weird to me. Like. I've never seen them sober. Right, exactly. But I had just as much fun. But it was just, it was weird being very aware of your surroundings.
Yeah. I have to admit, I never go to a show sober.
Well, you would if you were pregnant.
I would if I was.
That's the only reason I would.
Or
no,
work.
I can totally understand.
Or work.
Hey, I've gone to work.
You knew that was
sober.
Coming.
Ish.
Don't dig the hole.
I'm not digging the hole. All right. And finally, for the other news, we go all the way to Oklahoma City.
Yay!
Oklahoma.
Yeah.
where police arrested a Oklahoma City man after he allegedly jumped behind the counter of a fast food restaurant and stole food. Now, that's just the tip of the iceberg there. Oklahoma City Police Department reports that 36-year-old Dante Rashad Anderson was arrested April 15th on a complaint of robbery by force or fear. Now,
which restaurant?
First of all, he started at a Carl's Jr., demanded food.
I love that we're calling that like a restaurant. Like,
it's fast food, y'all.
It's fast food.
So he first, at 10:45 a.m., they responded to a complaint at the Carl's Jr. on Southwestern 920 Southwestern. I don't know if you know that.
I know exactly where that is.
All right.
Yep. What city is this in?
Oklahoma City.
Is it a Hardee's or a Carl's?
This is a Carl's.
Okay.
There are still Hardee's, though, by the way.
Yeah.
Good knowledge.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Down in, where
didn't
was
you guys say you went to, like, Atlanta and had a Hardee's or something?
No. Well, no.
Chicago?
New Orleans, we went to Nolens? Crystal Burger.
Oh, okay. Tanelli
and I and Pete McMurray.
like
3 in the morning. Oh, yeah, anyway, that's all another story. Yeah.
So this guy's at a Carl's Jr. Green Burrito Fusion.
Yeah. He's screaming for food. Screaming and demanding food, but employees were actually able to get him to leave. Until later, he was known as at Arby's across the street.
Ugh.
My God.
Now, the Arby's manager told police that Anderson jumped on the front counter, demanded food. Now, he's on top of the counter. He then jumped off the counter, allegedly grabbed the manager, and forced her towards a wall to where he jumped back over the counter and grabbed a whole handful of chicken and bacon and walked out of the business.
Chicken and bacon.
Mm. Yeah. Now, this is where the fun begins.
In my world, chicken and bacon is
right.
Fun.
That is the fun. On his way out, he broke the glass door of the business.
My God.
He then was sold, and then witnesses said that he was possibly under the influence of some sort of narcotic
you
or
think?
Intoxicant.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, suffering from a break from reality. But then he also was walking down the street, across the street, kicking and damaging several vehicles. Now, this is my favorite quote of the entire story. Patricia Beatles accounts this, car getting kicked by him. He jumped up like he was Chuck Norris and just kicked the crap out of my car. I mean, he kicked it so hard, you could just feel the momentum.
Nice.
He was later found outside of a Taco Mayo.
Oh, I love Taco Mayo. telling you guys, it's better than Taco Bell.
Mm,
yeah. We'll have
bold
a discussion
words. About Del Taco.
Yeah,
that's California.
That.
But he was laying on the ground outside of Taco Mayo. And I don't know if he was conjured up, but he was yammering that he broken his ankle was broken, that he was 4 years advanced, and on his planet, everyone is dead.
On his planet?
On his planet. So he's saying he's from the future.
Superman.
Different planet.
So he said he's from
a drug.
So he said he's from the future.
Was that?
So he said he's from the future?
He's from the future.
Okay.
And he says that this is how people in my time demand food. So I guess he goes around kicking cars in his time and planet.
Nice.
Wow. And that is your other news with the other guys.
Awesome.
How we roll in Oklahoma.
Cool. Thank you, Joe. All right. So also within the last week, so much in the rock-related world has happened.
Yeah, with two bands.
I know. Specifically, seems like in the last few days, it's just been... Everyone's been talking about Guns N' Roses and AC/DC and all that stuff. So let's go ahead and jump right into the Holy Crap report. So, Joe,
back
can
at
you
it
fill
with
it,
me?
Yeah, fill us in with all that.
So, first of all, let's go ahead and start off with this past weekend. It was Coachella, the first weekend. Of course, we all knew Guns N' Roses was one of the headliners.
Yeah.
Now, one of the biggest surprises, there's always a big surprise at Coachella with one band or another. With this, it was not only Angus Young showing up on stage with Axl Rose. It was also
with Guns N' Roses.
With Guns, yeah, Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses. But this also kind of ties into all the rumors about Axl Rose becoming the new lead singer of AC/DC.
Well, just to kind of put it in perspective, so Chas and I were at the Fillmore watching Blackberry Smoke, and Chas, you got an alert from friend saying Rolling Stone published an article that said it's official, Axl Rose is going to fill in on vocals for AC/DC on the remaining tour.
That was Saturday about like maybe 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, it's just nice timing with this big announcement then Angus Young joins Guns N' Roses on stage and does a couple songs, Whole Lotta Rosie and Rare Frap. Yeah. So it's just all like, now it seems like the plan
there
is finally going forward.
There was a big machine going behind this.
Exactly. Yeah. It was all well planned.
Nice little promotion right there with Angus Young coming out on stage.
And now it makes sense. I knew Angus was in L.A. because Rick Nielsen of Cheap Trick posted a picture with Angus Young the other day in L.A. He says, so Angus was in town. Probably,
interesting.
Probably getting ready. I don't know. But So, the news is Angus Young's going to be playing lead singer for...
Mean Axl Rose.
Axl Rose is going to be doing vocals on...
For the remaining of the tour. Now, it didn't say that he was going to be the new lead singer from here on out because, like, Brian Johnson, of course, he has been forced to step away as leader because of his hearing, possible hearing loss.
Yes.
Now...
So, Chasta, what are your thoughts on this whole situation?
Well, I mean, as you well know, it's not that I had beef because I didn't think Axl Rose could do it. Obviously, I think he can do it. But I just am concerned about the scheduling situation because, as we all know, he shows up usually late. Doing one band has been hard enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have him doing these Coachella shows. Then he's going to do the Guns N' Roses, or excuse me, the AC/DC 10 shows that they got to make up.
Yeah.
Then he goes with Guns N' Roses, and then they have to make up some other shows that they missed on the back end. So he's like, I mean.
So for like the next four or five months, he's going to be flip-flopping bands.
And I mean, think he, it wasn't
on one
that,
foot.
He hasn't, exactly. He hasn't been super busy in the last couple years. So he's going from zero to 60 here.
It is a big payday. That's what I'm thinking. Like, it's a great business move on his part.
God, 2016, like his taxes next year are going to suck.
I know. Jimbo, what'd you think about the whole thing?
Well, one quick little thing off the top is that Coachella, you're talking about surprises and all this news coming out of Coachella. So, yeah, that happened. But also Third Eye Blind, you know, jumped on stage and performed with the Chainsmokers. So why don't we talk about that?
Oh,
you know, support the local boys.
That's weird. No one heard that story.
Yeah, me neither.
Wow. Oh, and Stephen Jenkins was just here.
Let's go tell him how none of you guys even give a damn.
Oh.
Except for me. But so there's that. But no, I mean, we talked about this. I'm not a fan of this move for a lot of the reasons that Chasta said. I mean, he's already got enough on his plate. And, you know, we discussed that whole thing about Aerosmith as far as how you want to go out as a band.
Amen.
And AC/DC is already, I think, pushing the, you know, with everything that's gone around, a lot of sad stuff, but they've already been pushing their expiration date as far as that goes. And I love AC/DC. They're probably my favorite classic rock band of all time. I don't want to see them. And I have never been fortunate enough to see them live, unfortunately. Mm. But I don't want to see them with Axl Rose, their lead singer. Nothing against him. I'm probably his biggest proponent on this podcast.
Yeah.
But that's not AC/DC to me. So, you know, in the fact that they're moving forward with this, I'd rather have them get somebody more unknown.
I agree with that.
Like what STP is doing.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of it is, I mean, from the videos we saw from Coachella, he does, you know,
he has that Bon Scott kind of sweat. Yeah.
So maybe AC/DC is going to do maybe more Bon Scott songs on their set list.
There was a lot of stuff that Brian wouldn't do. Of Bonds. This does open up the playlist a little.
There's also a lot of songs that they won't do because I know because they won't play as long lead to the top because no Bon Scott.
Yeah.
It's kind of like their era.
I think AC/DC, they're probably thinking at this point, if Brian Johnson health-wise can't do it, they need a big name to come in to kind of just make the news. Because look, they've been all over news. I mean, honestly, this is probably the biggest news story in rock in years.
Oh,
I mean, this is
sure.
bigger than like Sammy Hagar joining Van Halen.
Oh, I
mean,
agree.
This is the biggest thing. And so AC/DC.
Until Led Zeppelin comes back together. So.
But AC/DC is all over the news now. And they weren't for a while. So I just think from a business standpoint, an image standpoint, they're just probably doing this to be seen by everyone.
I can't help but shake the feeling about sort of the whole thing surrounding Brian Johnson and everything. It feels so unceremonious. And it feels wrong. And I feel bad for the guy. And I feel bad for AC/DC. Look, they booked this tour. What's the name of the tour? It's like Rock or Bust.
Yeah.
They bust. It's like, so obviously it's like, you know, they don't want to be like, well, I guess it's Bust. But it's like, it doesn't feel right to me. And I have a really bad feeling about it.
This could be a weird way to end their behind the music story.
Yeah.
You think about it. If this is really the last thing that they're going to be known for, I feel like it's going to be odd. I think Axl sounds good from the videos I've seen. He sounds great.
Yeah, he does.
I'm excited for the Guns N' Roses side of things.
Me too.
Right? I'm still on the fence about him with AC/DC. I think it'll be interesting for fun, but I don't think it's going to be a long-term solution.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. Those shows that are doing AC/DC, I think that's overseas, right?
Mostly. Yeah. I know at least 10 of them are.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see how he does like a full set, and hopefully his leg will be healed or foot. And
yeah, because he was still rocking out Coachella sitting down
in Dave Grohl's throne.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see about that. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of curious to see how it's going to turn out. So, but Joe, do you have some news on Brian Johnson, right?
Yeah. So like Brian Johnson was actually interviewed about his reaction to being with Axl Rose taking over his live duties. And he has come out in quote saying, "I am personally crushed by this development more than anyone could ever imagine. The most experience I feel now is worse than anything I have ever felt in my life. Being part of AC/DC, making records, and performing for the millions of devoted fans these past 36 years has been my life's work. Mm-hmm. I cannot imagine going forward without being part of that, but for now I have no choice. Mm-hmm. One thing is for certain, that is that I will always be with AC/DC at every show in spirit, if not in person."
Nice.
Now, that kind of brings a little question because I remember reading or hearing someone talk about that they made a pact that after they hired Brian Johnson, if any other band members were to quit or die, they wouldn't go on as AC/DC.
But easy for them to say until they're in a contract. Yeah, until they're in a contract,
I was going to say, Malcolm Young, it's been a decline for AC/DC since Malcolm Young's been gone. Right.
Then the drummer, Paul Rudd. Now,
Phil Rudd,
thank you.
Ant-Man.
That would be pretty great.
Yeah, Ant-Man singing. It's... How about that, Jimbo? What, Ant-Man singing?
No.
How about this? Ant-Man playing drums?
Ant-Man had enough jokes in it already.
I think he slaps the bass better than
slapping
he
plays. Slapping the bass.
Back it up. Back it up.
I love you, man.
So, well, okay, I give Brian credit. At least he's trying to, you know,
he's being clear and honest with everyone.
Yeah.
You know, so there's people aren't assuming that there's a ton of bad blood here. He didn't really have a lot of choice.
This is brutal. Like, I mean,
I feel bad for Brian and all this.
Oh, I do too.
Like, he's been with them for how long?
36 years.
I feel like the family's kind of abandoning him in this situation, that it's like, well, you know, the you got to just keep rolling with the tide and it stops for no man. Not even, like, he came in, like, people wrote AC/DC off.
After
like,
Bond died?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he, I mean.
Yeah, he's a savior.
Yeah.
Right.
And now in his time of need, I just feel like it just feels wrong.
It seems like it's a business decision to keep going.
Oh, it for sure is. He didn't have a choice to step out, but they had a choice to keep going or not.
Yeah. It feels like they're kind of just like, well, what have you done for me lately kind of deal. And that just makes me sad. Honestly, it's less in my opinion of the rest of the band members.
Yeah, I totally get you on that.
I mean, Brian's been the face of that band for a long time.
There are kids these days that don't know anything about Bon Scott, which kind of is mind-blowing, but it's true.
Yeah,
so I feel bad for Brian, so hopefully this is not the end of him, personally. I know he does make an appearance on Jim Brewer's new Garage.
Watch What You Say.
Rock album. Oh, yeah, Jim Brewer.
Yeah, no kidding. He did say he's able to record. The doctor said that he could record, so what does that mean? Like a solo project, but then he can't go on the road, so it's like, I don't know what that will be.
He can do his children lullabies and nursery rhymes. Do the hokey pokey.
Yeah, he could do that with Jim, and that'll be his career.
Nice. So, we'll see how this plays out. I'm sure there's going to be an ongoing topic for us to talk about for months to come. And then, actually, Joe, go ahead, jump on in with the Aerosmith news.
Yeah,
just a follow-up what we talked about last time.
So, let's go ahead and talk about, of course, Aerosmith's potential farewell tour. Now, in a article from Blabbermouth, Joe Perry has been quoted that it's definitely not confirmed. It has been in talk with the band for the past 5 years or so. And it's been kind of part with the whole, like, Tyler and Perry not really having that good of a relationship together. Steven Tyler with his solo career. Steve Perry has actually been quoted about his solo work. Joe Perry.
Joe
Steven
Perry and
Tyler.
Steven Tyler. There you go. Yep.
I do love Steve Perry, though.
And Tyler Perry also.
not as big of a fan
this
of
is
that.
Getting a little confusing, yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Joe Perry is actually quoted about Steven Tyler's solo act. He's got an effing rhinestone cowboy hat going, yippee-ki-yay. I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah.
But back onto the farewell tour. It's like I said, he's been quoted saying it's something we talked about for 5 years. It's just something that the band's talked about various times. At this point, the five of us have never sat down and said it's time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like one of those things where it's up in the air. But of course, as we've noticed with a lot of bands' talk and rumors, it might be true. Mm-hmm. Your guys' opinion on this?
Well, Lamont kind of threw me off on the air this morning when he said it was confirmed. Did you hear him?
Yeah, I saw
that
too.
Who the hell's he been talking to?
I know. I was like, is that something late breaking?
I didn't see it anywhere.
Jim Brewer had it, I think.
Yeah.
Don't tell Jim Brewer anything.
But in Lamont's defense, he did make a good point that a lot of bands do these farewell tours multiple times. The Scorpions, Kiss. I mean, the list goes on.
That's why I'm just so like, people say farewell tours, I think, just for you know, as a business decision.
Oh, absolutely.
Marketing.
It's like when you slap like organic on front of a food.
Yeah,
it's just
you charge
a little bit more.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean anything.
So, and then also I saw that Joe Perry's actually working on a solo album right now. So
he's done before.
Yeah.
Which, in a way, I'm kind of glad because we'll most likely maybe get him back in the studio. Because the one time he came in the studio years ago is he had a solo album to promote and his show at the Fillmore. So I'm kind of excited for Chastity's sake that
you're not worthy.
Well, he is also on tour with Hollywood Vampires.
So he's doing that too. So he's busy.
And they're coming to the Mountain Winery this summer.
So Joe Perry's very busy himself.
Joe Perry.
And
they're all kind of trying to entertain themselves now during the summer while Steven's doing this country thing, because it came out this morning that Tom Hamilton, the bass player, is playing with Thin Lizzy this summer.
That's awesome.
Nice. Which is pretty cool.
Sweet.
So I guess they're all kind of going their own way.
The boys are back in town. Just one of the best songs ever.
I'm picking up some sarcasm there. I enjoy that song.
Good. No, great.
What's wrong with that song?
Wait, the toys are back in town?
No. No, seriously, I love The Boys Are Back in Town, but there's some people I've met who try to bag on it.
We got in a big argument one night with a friend.
Yeah, no. And to me.
Oh, okay.
No,
yeah,
I like
that song.
No, you do too?
Yeah.
No, I love that song.
All right.
No, I'm
not throwing shade at it.
No. No, I'm not. It's just, I love that song and I love what everything represents. I think it's one of the greatest classic rock songs ever.
Yeah.
So I will fight that to the very end. So
I hate it.
Joe,
a couple more stories if you want to get to.
Actually, timing wise, let's just jump into the last one.
What, Josh Holmes?
They're singing about like skanks and bars. So, like, what's wrong with boys back in town?
Skanks and bars.
I don't get that.
No, I just love it. Remember ESPN when they brought all the hosts back for SportsCenter to celebrate the anniversary? They used that.
It gets me going. Yeah, it's great. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Thank you. They used that in the montage.
It's like every baseball season I listen to that song. It gets me pumped up.
They used that for the montage for all the anchors that they're coming back. And I was like, it got me just amped up for it.
Yeah.
Well, there goes our time for the story.
I love that. It's just one of the best. So just go in with the, go ahead. We'll jump ahead to the last one. Yes.
The story about the story so far.
Yeah.
All right. So first of all, at a punk show, if you're able to get up on the stage, what do you do? You stage dive.
Right away.
Right away. Mm. Do you stop to try to take a selfie? Anyone?
Today, yes.
Today, probably.
In today's world.
Well, okay.
I've never stage dove before, but.
So, like, mid stage dive?
I would absolutely
try and take a selfie. Like, if you're like, dug it. You know, this is very visual heavy gag.
That would be awesome. Let me get into the story.
Yeah, explain what happened.
So, during the story so far, is April 10th show at the Mod Club.
Just for everyone out there, just in case, the story so far are a pop punk band out of, I think, Walnut Creek. So, they are a Bay Area band. They're one of these bands that are getting a lot of attention as far as the pop punk revival. That's why I'm partly bringing this story up, just because it is a Bay Area tie-in.
Bringing pop punk back.
So, but they did a show up in Canada.
Yeah. So they're in the Mod Club Theater in Toronto, Canada, where frontman Parker Cannon kicked a female fan off stage. Mm. Now, in a...
we'll post a video on our Facebook and Twitter if you want to watch it.
In literally a kicker?
Oh, and around the 34-second mark on a fan shot video, you clearly see a teenage girl get up, maybe around her 17, 18-year-old. She gets up on stage, and it's kind of like in the break before the start of a song, and you see her stand up on stage, pull out her cell phone, and try to take a selfie. Unbeknownst to her, that the lead singer Cannon is about to dropkick the crap out of her to get her off stage for doing that such.
So she's... This girl jumps on stage, and it's like taking forever. I think it's like one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
Okay.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And she's trying, it looks like, I don't know if she's trying to get the phone ready or she's just doing multiple shots, but the lead singer gets behind her and
just a nice, like,
just drop,
a power
and
then, kick.
And kicks her, and she.
Like a super kick? What kind of kick are we talking about?
Yeah, a very super kick-esque.
Okay.
I mean, he kind of jumped off the ground completely. Not Shawn Michaels, like to the side.
Yeah.
But it was.
It's more of a brogue kick.
Sheamus.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
So he kicked her, and she completely, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. No,
like,
she.
Like, little whiplash, she flings and falls
into
the crowd.
And then suddenly, and then it's like, then they go into like the beginning of the song, and then you see everyone get up and start doing stage dives. But here's the question. Do you think he was in the right to do that?
Because partly when this video got out, a lot of fans were getting upset. It's like, how dare you kick one of your fans?
Right.
These are people who buy tickets and your albums.
Yeah.
How can you assault them like that? It's interesting
to be. It's a pretty aggro kick, if I'm being totally honest. I get that it's a punk band, so obviously they're going to be aggro. But he kicks her hard. He kicks her hard. I mean, you can't deny that.
That's why I wish there was a second angle.
A side angle?
Yeah.
But I also
think. That doesn't look too hard.
Are you kidding me? Like, or like whiplash? He's in the air. No, Joe, I got to call you on that. I'm sorry. Also, what you're missing here is it's a guy versus girl thing, and that's an issue too.
Yeah.
If it was a guy, I probably wouldn't have that much of an issue with it. But it's a girl. It's a chick.
Oh, I would have a total issue.
You would have an issue?
I'm joking.
Okay,
I'm like,
you have an issue with a guy
joking.
But not a girl? Okay.
I'm joking.
But I'm just saying, like, you know, there's that angle too.
But
it is a punk rock show, and she needs to be a little bit more punk.
And it's interesting. There's been a lot of comments about this video and this story, and it's pretty, I see a lot of people says, how dare he do that to a fan? And they're getting a lot of flack on their Facebook page, I saw. But then there's some people, it's like, the girl deserved it. How dare she stay on the stage that long? Me personally, just what I've seen on the video, they're both in the wrong.
I agree. I actually agree with what you're saying.
They're both in the wrong. First things first, he should not have kicked her. He needs to realize that we're in a world where everything you do as a public figure is on a cell phone.
Yeah.
He should have done, if he wanted to get her off stage, he should have just grabbed her. And like, you know, for example, like Joe Coy, Steve-O, when
take
they do
the selfie himself,
take the selfie himself, hand it to her, and just kind of push her off the stage.
Right.
Also, my thing is, where his stage crew?
That's what
help,
I'm asking. Yeah. Get a roadie out there.
About her, though, she was standing on stage for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, get off the stage, because I'm thinking you're blocking people's view.
And
in
she's
the
standing
crowd.
Right up front, like she's sort of oblivious to the band behind her.
It's like she's more concerned about the selfie than the show.
Oh, for sure.
So he should not have kicked her. I totally agree. He should not have kicked her. Just help her down or whatever. Push off to the side. But her, she should not have gone on stage and done that. If you're going to get on stage, it's like you literally one, two, three, ooh, jump.
Yeah, you jump on stage to jump off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's an interesting point about the fact that it's at a punk show and there's all this stage diving going on and everything like that. It's kind of the norm. So I will say this. It was my understanding that kind of that, like, you know, when you, it's sort of like when a fan tries to jump in a wrestling ring, like at a lot of shows, when you jump on stage, you're kind of fair game.
Right.
But it, you know, these kind of shows that where that kind of behavior is encouraged for stage diving, that is sort of a, kind of puts a new wrinkle in the story. However, she is being very, very self-centered by doing this. Like, so I get the you know, I mean she's sort of very typical of this generation.
She's doing
of,
it for the gram.
People.
Doing it for
you
the
know,
Instagram.
Exactly. Totally. So like, so a part of me takes a little bit of pleasure in the fact that one of these millennials got theirs a little bit.
Totally.
Like the whole, like, I'm going to Instagram, like, that, like, there's a sort of a satisfaction there, but I mean, this is a young woman. He should not have drop kicked her. If he wanted to, he should have grabbed her phone, chucked it off the stage.
That's a punk move.
That
would have
been funny.
Yeah,
that
you know, like, funny. Because, and it probably would have affected her a lot more than anything else,
right?
You know?
But she's probably like, how'd be funny if she got a picture, like, mid kick.
She probably did. That would be hilarious.
The way she reacts with her back and everything like that, it looks like she got it pretty good. So I don't like that. But I mean, this is not the first time this has happened. I mean, was it Akon got in trouble in trouble, but he like gorilla press slammed somebody off, which I almost think is better because at least they're going into the arms of the faithful, as it were, like a stage dive. Afro Man punched that woman that jumped up on stage with him. But that was a situation where he wasn't even really aware that she was.
I found a better angle.
Where Afro Man wasn't even really aware of what was going on. So it was almost like he was surprised that somebody was on stage.
Yeah.
Like, more of like, and I don't know if I wouldn't call it self-defense because I think he checked into rehab afterward. But, I mean, there is this sort of interesting
the
contract that you make.
Well, be careful. Yeah. Like, Randy Blythe of Lamb of God, remember? He was in Europe, and they had that whole thing where he threw a fan off stage, and that person got stomped on and died, and he had to go to do some jail time over there. So I'm just thinking, you know, you drop kick her, she can land wrong, awkwardly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get really
she didn't
injured.
See it coming. It's behind her, exactly. You know?
It's like if he pie-faced her off the stage back
that's
into the crown, that's totally different.
Right.
I mean, not
or
totally
if he
different,
picked her
but
up and she had a couple seconds to know what was about to happen. Again, different.
Or she just go
more
to him
playful.
And be like, get the F off my stage or something like that. Or let me see her. I mean, for me in troll world, I say, let me take a selfie with you. Act like you're going to do it and then chuck the phone as hard as you can.
That's a hilarious reaction. Yeah.
And that would have been probably people more
Everybody would have been on board with she deserved it, I think, at that point.
But the fact that physical harm was included.
I found actually like a full video of the entire show and I found a new angle from the actual side stage.
Okay.
And the way that it looks like he kicks her, it's shaky, but in my honest opinion, it looks like he pushes her with his foot.
Okay.
He doesn't straight full on kick.
A push with a foot is a kick.
Mm.
Just to clarify.
He didn't like,
I mean, if we're being like,
we'll post a video on our Facebook, Twitter, and kind of get everyone's reaction to it.
What is your opinion?
To the
audience.
Rhetorically?
Rhetorically.
Okay, gotcha.
Come on.
Okay, cool. Well, on that note, let's go ahead and wrap things up for our Holy Crap report. So we'll post all these links and stories on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Real quick, Jimbo, did you see Walking Dead yet? Can we answer last week's mailbag question?
No. I watched it.
I
made some time in my busy schedule between sinking threes and everything, nailing tens.
Every time I turn around.
So, yes, I watched.
So, okay, real quick, who's your prediction and who think got Negan's Lucille bad?
I don't see. Okay, there's only real. I mean,
and no, this is a quick spoilers. Yeah, I mean, spoilers. It's been over for a few weeks now.
Yeah, exactly. So if you don't want to hear any spoilers, I mean, it's all speculation at this point. But Negan did kill somebody.
Yes.
Yeah. So somebody says the cameraman, which I thought was hilarious. That was one of the first comments I saw. They said, "Oh, Negan killed the cameraman." But no, I think the obvious choice for me, if they're not going to go the comic book route, which is kill that worthless waste of space, Glenn, is that I think he killed Eugene, because you see in this episode and you see this theme in Walking Dead that everybody that becomes important sort of gets their hero shot, and they get so Eugene got his hero moment in this episode to step up finally that, hey, you're a part of this family. You've been a valuable part of this group. He gave Rick his plans to make bullets.
Oh, he already gave it to him?
Yeah, they said their goodbyes to Eugene in this episode.
Yeah, just in case or whatever.
Yeah, so I think it's Eugene. I think that's they gave him his moments. So gotcha.
I didn't think of it that way, because online people are speculating it could be Daryl
or Michonne.
I heard in the comics Negan doesn't hurt kids or women.
Oh, interesting.
So he's going after a guy.
Well, we know it can't be Carl, because he threatens to pull out Carl's
eye and feed it to Rick.
Yeah, so it can't be Rick. I hope it's Glenn. I hope that they just went the Glenn route.
No, for me, I think it is Glenn, because I think they're going to go full comic book route. And there's like all
these. It gives Maggie some death as well. Like,
well,
her character.
She probably has a zombie baby about the bust out alien style on her.
Don't tell that for a Jasta.
I have no idea. It's all good.
But it was kind of cool, because one of the articles I read about, like, all the speculations that at the very end when it goes black, all you hear is just smack and smack.
Like 9 times.
Oh, yeah. Man. You kind of hear people, like, it sounds like people are yelling out Glenn, Maggie screaming for Glenn, and even you kind of hear, like, even Glenn saying, like, yelling out Maggie, like, all bloodied.
I think it's not going to be Glenn, because Glenn already jumped out once in that scene, so maybe that's kind of like a wink of the eye that Glenn in the comics got beat up, but it's like they pulled him back. So I don't know if he would hit the guy who already jumped out once.
I would.
Yeah. Well, hey, Glenn.
I would have killed that pizza boy on the spot for doing that.
So,
by the way, Negan was awesome.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is the best.
He is a great actor, actually.
Thomas Wayne. Remember Batman?
I think of him as Mr. Winchester from Supernatural.
Yes, thank you. I was just about to say that.
Or the comedian.
Yes.
Watchmen. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's we'll see what happens.
We got a lot of weight.
We got to wait 6 months, though, to see what happens.
We can watch Fear the Walking Dead while we're at it.
I need to catch up on that.
Yeah,
thanks,
me too.
I'll pass.
So let us know who you think. I mean, a lot of people think it's Daryl because of the camera angles constantly from his eyes leading up to that moment, but I don't think Daryl would do that. They would do that to Daryl. He's way too popular, and I don't think he got the proper send-off.
Well, I think people are overthinking it a bit, too.
We should make predictions right now. Eugene, if it's Eugene, that might be good, the way you described the whole situation with...
I'm going to be sad, because I finally came around on Eugene. It better not be Abraham, because Abraham's my dude.
Oh, dude, Abraham's so badass.
I know. So we'll see.
What is your prediction?
I was either Abraham or Eugene.
Mm-hmm. What do you think? They're gonna go a little more comic book route, or just way out of left field and kill someone worthless?
I think Eugene's just the easy route, though.
Yeah,
I don't know. Let me think. Let me think about it. Either Eugene or Abraham. That's
he's bit a man's penis, and he got his farewell shot in the following episode.
That is true. That was all Eugene that episode.
He's gotten to do a lot, so I think it might be his
It just sucks because he came up the idea of making bullets, because bullets is like the new currency in this new world. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But on that note, let's go ahead and wrap things up for this week's episode of the Guys Podcast. We got to hurry up and get out of here. People are walking by and staring at us. And
yeah.
Today was a busy day.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Key and Peele come by.
My day's not done yet either, too.
I know. Stephen Jenkins was through here.
Don't act like you even care after you guys didn't even know about Coachella. Come on.
Oh, my God.
Coachella.
It's just such a busy day. So, Chasta, anything you want to plug, promote?
Well, obviously, the Blackberry Smoke interview, 1077thebone.com. Mm-hmm. You can watch the video and or the audio. And on my social media is Instagram, Chasta Lynn, Twitter, Chasta, and Facebook, Chasta Radio.
Awesome. Joe Hawk.
Yeah, of course. Besides my social media, where you can find me on Instagram, at the Joe Hawk, Twitter, at RWC Joe Hawk, and Facebook, Facebook.com, Joe Hawk Official, and, of course, my trivia nights at Free Will Brewing Company, Redwood City, California. Starting this month, every first Monday of the month, is going to be my trivia. So come on out. Starts 7:30, $3 to play. And yeah, and also, hopefully pretty soon we can get the Key and Peele video interview from this morning up and going. So we can probably work on that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, all the other interviews that you guys done.
Jimbo?
Best Damn Nerd Show, as always, but also this week I guested on This Very Screen, which is a podcast about reviewing very specific films, and those are films that are made by WWE Studios. So we reviewed The Countdown, and we also did sort of a Mystery Science Theater live commentary on it as well. So look for those in the coming weeks. Awesome. A lot of fun.
Tell your buddy I got a new Metallica shirt to wear for him.
Yeah, Mark Abrigo, I will let him know.
And I'm Baby Huey. Real quick, I got to give listeners shout-outs. I think that's something we should do. I want to give a shout-out to a listener of The Bone, Sean Dudley, a.k.a. The Lizard Nut. I just found out yesterday he passed away.
Oh.
And I was very shocked. He's a young guy. Part of, I mean, him and I go way back. He used to hang out with me every Tata Tuesday.
Oh, bummer.
Big fan.
What did he die of?
I don't know yet. Oh, they haven't said publicly, so it's still up in the air. But
rest in peace, dude.
Yeah, so I just want to give him a nice shout out. Joe Rock and Seaweed were messaging me last night about it. They found out too.
Wow.
So just very sad, but I know he's a big fan of The Bone, and him and I had our playful fun back and forth, but he always was a big supporter of me as well, and of The Bone in general. So I know he moved to Arizona, I think, last year or 2 years ago. So he's been out of the state, but he's been super cool, and I just appreciate all the support he gave to us. So I just want to give him a special shout out. So thank you, Sean, for everything you did. And then also real quick, Chas and I had a great interview with Kevin Martin.
Oh, yeah,
Canva
right.
Box, Canva Box. 1077thebone.com. Also the Charlie Starr interview. Jimbo and I had a great interview with Johnny Mundo from Lucha Underground. That's going to be on the website as well today. And then, follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/babyhueyofficial, Twitter and Instagram at babyhuey83. And of course, 1077thebone.com for all our links to listen. And on that note, have a great weekend. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Other Guys Podcast. Be sure to follow The Other Guys on all their social media pages. Facebook.com/TheOtherGuysPodcast. Instagram at The Other Guys Podcast. And Twitter at TOG Podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. And of course, check back to 1077thebone.com for new and previous episodes of The Other Guys Podcast.
Audio!